You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, welcome on in what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in, 888-710-4476. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, or you can find me on TikTok at the Zach Gelb Show. Stuart Kovacs along the other way, and we are here until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time, whenever Mike delects to show up and do the show. That would be nice. I don't know where he is. Jamie Erdahl will join us coming up 20 minutes from now. Mario Craver, the A&M wide receiver, will join us at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time. Danny Cannell coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and we should have Pat Boyle in his weekly spot a little bit later today at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time. Let's start off. We speculated about this yesterday. I didn't know if it was going to happen, but now that it did, it almost feels as if it's an end of an era. So the Miami Dolphins have benched Tua Tagovailoa, and they're going to go to third-string quarterback rookie Quinn Ewers. He is now going to start, for what I gather, is the remainder of the season. So let's look at the Dolphins. It wasn't that long ago that the Miami Dolphins were in a playoff game up against the Buffalo Bills, right? Tua Tagovailoa wasn't available for that game because of an injury, and they ended up losing that game. Then a few years later, the Dolphins were back in the postseason, and they were going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember, that was the same season where earlier in the year, they scored like 70 points or whatever it was up against the Denver Broncos. So the Miami Dolphins, really that we knew them in that playoff game up against the Kansas City Chiefs, where it was frigid cold and their offense did nothing, that is really the day that the Dolphins died. Now, I understand some people are saying, well, Zach, like, what are you sitting here saying? The Dolphins died, blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, they never really won anything. Yeah, they won a playoff game. But they had this core of Devon Achane, right, recently, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. I know he's been out for the season after the gruesome injury. Tua Tagovailoa. Chris Greer was running the show. Mike McDaniel was the young head coach in this league. And you take a glance at where the Dolphins are now. Tyreek Hill, I don't think he's ever going to play again for the Miami Dolphins. He basically didn't even want to play going into the season. And the toothpaste was out of the tube. He tried to put it all back in. And then he got hurt. Tua Tagovailoa, they benched him today. Can you really recover from this? And I know what people are going to say, but Zach, you know, look at the Carolina Panthers. They benched Bryce Young. Then they gave Bryce Young his job back. Bryce Young was on a rookie contract. It's on a rookie contract. And he was also in his second year in the league when they benched him and then brought him back in. He put lipstick on a pig at the end of the season. And then when it did come to year number three, this is what we've seen right now with Bryce Young. It's been up and down where the Carolina Panthers are better than what we would have thought. But with that being said, still, when you take a glance at the Carolina Panthers, they just lost the second time this season to the New Orleans Saints. So I'm looking at this Dolphins team, and I got to say to myself, like, where are you building towards? It's like you look at Stu's Raiders, for example, a decrepit organization. And Stu, you may feel lost. You may feel helpless with your organization. You may feel like there's not a lot there to really hang on to, but at least you still got Max Crosby, right? At least you still got Brock Bowers. Chip Kelly, who Stu and I saw, by the way, in the sidelines at Army-Navy. Stu, oh my God, Stu. Stu was, he was as white as a ghost on the sideline. And then he sees Chip Kelly, and his face is like red. It's orange. Oh my
true.
God, Stu was not happy.
I was not happy with that. No.
And then I'm talking to Shane Beamer, and I said to Coach Egg, you know, can we take a picture, blah, blah, blah. And as we're taking the picture, and Stu is the one taking the photograph, Chip Kelly walks over to Shane Beamer, and it's almost like he knew Stu was there, and he just wanted to dance on the grave of the Raiders season one more time, the former offensive coordinator, the silver and black, in Chip Kelly. So I understand there's not a lot there with the Raiders, but with Ashton Jeanty no longer having to deal with Chip Kelly, if you get a solid offensive line, I'm not saying that the Raiders are anywhere close to winning a championship, but Stu, you would agree with this. If the Raiders get a quarterback, and if the Raiders get an offensive line, they're not that far off from being a team that could maybe squeak into the postseason one year, right?
Yeah, you've seen these teams build teams that, you know, have 2, 3, 4 wins, and they get those two things you mentioned, the quarterback and the offensive line, and then they're suddenly in the playoffs a year later, right? Like, look at the Commanders last year with Daniels. You get the quarterback, and you're in good shape, so that's what the Raiders have to do.
And even Samter's Jets, I understand that they just got rid of Quinn and Williams. I understand they just got rid of Sauce Gardner. And they're going to need to revamp that defense in a big way. But offensively, like, you do have Garrett Wilson. You do have Breece Hall. You have, at least with the Jets, what is it, 5 or 6 picks over the next 2 years in the first round? There are some things, and I know the Jets always mess up the draft, but there are some things where you can at least feel optimistic. You can at least say, okay, I get it. The Jets are down and out. The Raiders are down and out. But if I'm trying to find the most optimistic lens that I could find and look through, there's a teeny amount of optimism you could build. When I look for the Dolphins, what's the optimism? Tyreek Hill is damaged goods. Tua Tagovailoa is damaged goods. Mike McDaniel's more of an offensive coordinator than a head coach. And you look at this team, they, like, what they were trying to be for years, and I've always thought this, they were trying to be San Francisco 49ers light. That's what they were trying to be. That was the team that they were trying to build with the Miami Dolphins, and they had 2 playoff runs. They had 2 appearances in the postseason. They did win a playoff game, but now benching the quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa, it only means this ends 1 or 2 ways, right? This ends where next year, Tua Tagovailoa is not on the team, or Tua Tagovailoa is on the team. It's the only way it ends. But if Tua Tagovailoa is on the team next year, how can Mike McDaniel be the head coach? Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa at once were attached to the hip. Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa were as once as close could be, right? But with that being said, that relationship is fractured this year. That relationship is ugly this year. There has been a little bit of a war of words through the media when you hear Tua Tagovailoa speak and when you hear Mike McDaniel speak as well. So I don't think next year you could walk into Miami Dolphins football in the year of 2026 and have Mike McDaniel back as the head coach or Tua Tagovailoa back as the quarterback. It's honestly, if it has to be this way, one or the other. And let's be real. If I was Stephen Ross and I'm running the Miami Dolphins, I'm looking at this. You fire Chris Greer. I think it was on Halloween, I'm pretty sure. So you got rid of Chris Greer at the end of October, the general manager, right? The three stooges here of Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, and then Tua Tagovailoa. You already got rid of him. What is the reasoning? What is the justification in bringing back the head football coach or the quarterback? All right, let me argue with myself here. The justification, Zach, of bringing back the head coach. Well, he's been to the playoffs twice. The justification of bringing back the quarterback is one thing. Money. That's it. That's the only reason you could tell me why Tua Tagovailoa should be back in the Miami Dolphins next year. No one traded for Tua Tagovailoa this offseason. The contract is ridiculous because the Miami Dolphins rushed to pay Tua Tagovailoa when they didn't need to. So no one's trading for Tua Tagovailoa. Now, could you cut him? And could you eat the money? And could you have a Russell Wilson situation where he goes elsewhere? Yeah, but even if you're someone that's looking to bring in Tua Tagovailoa, you almost have to be a dome or a warm weather team. Because look, he's in a warm weather situation in Miami now, and it's even got bad. But anytime Tua goes out into the cold, he stinks. So like, I think you need to be a dome team or a warm weather team. That's number one. Number two, do you really think you could fix Tua? Like, I understand we've had redemption stories in this league, like a Baker Mayfield, like a Sam Darnold. And I get it, Tua's young. But Baker Mayfield wasn't damaged goods. Sam Darnold wasn't damaged goods. Tua Tagovailoa's had an abundance of injuries. So I just don't see, like, I'm not saying Tua's career is over. But Tua will have a landing spot somewhere. You know where he could have a landing spot? I'll just throw a team like this out there. A place like Minnesota. You play in a dome. You got Kevin O'Connell. You got Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison. Are you bringing in Tua Tagovailoa to be the starter? No. Right? Next year, probably J.J. McCarthy's going to be the starter of the Minnesota Vikings. Like, look at what the Colts did this year. Like, that's what you got to find if you're Tua. You got to find your Indianapolis Colt version for what Daniel Jones found last year. And the original plan, I do think it was to give them an honest shot and blah, blah, blah. But they realized they weren't going to Anthony Richardson, so they ended up going to Daniel Jones. But go to a place where the starting quarterback is not established, the starting quarterback is not secured, the starting quarterback is not great, and you could play yourself or the quarterback on the field in front of you could eventually give you an opportunity because that guy isn't up to par. That's pretty much what's going to happen for the future of Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think he's, like, honestly, if you ask me right now, and I would not have said this yesterday, if you're going to bench him today, I don't see how you bring him back next year unless if you get rid of Mike McDaniel and you just say, okay, the new coach coming in, we're going to have to absorb this salary for one more season before we could actually move on. So the more and more you go through this, and I'm giving you those justifications, like I'm giving you those reasons on why, like, you should maybe be interested in keeping Tua, you know, why you should maybe be interested in keeping Mike McDaniel. And you know what keeps on getting said in my head? You know that little voice keeps on saying in your head? Clean house. That's what you got to do. The Miami Dolphins right now need to clean house. Wipe the slate clean. You already got rid of Chris Greer. One of the Stooges gone. Now, go get rid of Mike McDaniel. Wave goodbye. Mike, appreciate you. You did some good things here. You're better off as an offensive coordinator. And even though you got to bite the bullet here, even though you got to eat the dinero, eat the straight cash, homie, eat the moolah, you got to get rid of Tua Tagovailoa. Right? You got to get rid of the stench of McDaniel, Greer's already gone, and Tua. And you got to get that disappointment. You got to get that dead weight out of your building first before you could build this thing back up again. And I would just wipe the slate clean, wave goodbye to Tua, wave goodbye to Chris Greer, obviously already gone, Mike McDaniel, sayonara, and then you bring in a new head coach, you bring in a new GM, and hey, you embrace it. This is a three-year buildup, baby, right? Year one, we have all this money dedicated to the quarterback. We'll go sign a cheap veteran. We got to hit draft. We got to get rid of some of these players, any established players we have in the roster for draft picks. We got to do a full rebuild. Like, look at what the Jets did. The Jets had some talent. They said goodbye to Quinnen Williams. They said goodbye to Sauce Gardner. They got all these picks back, and now they're rebuilding the roster. And maybe what the Jets are going to do is going to fail. How many times have the Jets told you they're rebuilding and then they fall flat in their face, and then in 3 years, you have a new GM, you have a new head football coach of the Jets? Sure. But at least I could respect, at least I see the concepts of the plan that the Jets have right now, where I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins and it's like, you got guys that were at 1 foot in, 1 foot out, 1 foot in the old era. Now you're trying to rebuild. You know, who could you have on the team that's going to be good moving forward? Well, it's not the head football coach and it's not the quarterback. You got to say goodbye to Mike McDaniel. You got to say goodbye to Tua Tagovailoa. And if they somehow keep both these guys next year, then the Dolphins just don't care about winning. If you keep Mike McDaniel, I understand he's done a nice job the last few weeks. I think you're wasting another season. If you keep Tua Tagovailoa, yeah, it would be about money, but once again, you're wasting another season. You got to start to build this thing back up. And in order to build this thing back up, you got to completely wipe the slate clean. And this is a message to the rest of the league, and I don't know if it's going to really hit. We sat here and we talked about Tua Tagovailoa and that contract. We sat here, we talked about Trevor Lawrence and that contract. We talked about some of those guys. And I said, just because everyone's rushing to pay their quarterbacks doesn't mean you need to. And I know Jacksonville's having a good season, but that was a mistake paying Trevor as quickly as they did. Miami, right there, they're really looking like the dopes right now for paying the amount of money that they did to Tua Tagovailoa. Just because everyone else is paying their quarterback, you could wait. You could wait. Now, I know Jerry Jones didn't always operate it the right way, but look how long he's waited several times to pay Dak Prescott. And Dak runs circles around Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence. But this era of Miami Dolphins football is over. There's no coming back for Tua in Miami, and quite frankly, there's no coming back for Mike McDaniels, the head football coach of the Miami Dolphins. Jamie Erdahl, Netflix is going to join us on the other side. Just does a great job each and every morning. Good morning, football. Netflix coming on back with a bunch of games on Christmas, so we will chat it up with Jamie Erdahl when the Zach Gelb Show continues after these short messages. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Jamie Erdahl from Good Morning Football, also a part of Netflix's coverage with all their Christmas Day game days, are going to be joining us coming up in just a moment. The big news today is that you do have the Miami Dolphins making a quarterback change. They are benching Tua Tagovailoa, and they're going to Quinn Ewers. And quite frankly, when I look at Quinn Ewers, there's some guys that you know right away when you're watching them in college, you say, wow, they're going to be a great pro quarterback. I never felt like when I was watching Quinn Ewers at college, and he did two really good years at Texas, right? Had him in the college football playoff in both years where he was their starting quarterback, won the Big 12 championship. They lost that opening round college football playoff game. And then the following year, when they were in the first year of the SEC, they made the college football playoff. They were last team standing. And quite frankly, I thought Sark had a horrible play call. I thought Sark had a horrible play call late in that game. And they could have defeated Ohio State. And who knows? Maybe they would have been in the national championship. But I never really thought that Quinn Ewers was going to be a great pro quarterback. And when I was watching him, I said, that's a guy that's an underappreciated college quarterback. He did a lot of good things at Texas. But now, when it comes to his NFL journey, I didn't really consider him this guy that was going to be highly sought after in the NFL. And he was a seventh-round draft pick for a reason. Now, maybe he goes on to have success, but the rest of the season, it's the Bengals, the Bucks, and the New England Patriots, and it's going to be a big question here on out. What's going to happen this offseason when you take a glance and when you look at, obviously the head football coach of the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, but also the quarterback as well in Tua Tagovailoa. And there's an enormous amount of money that's associated with Tua Tagovailoa because the Miami Dolphins rushed to go pay Tua. And now you got to say, are you going to eat that money? Are you going to give him another chance? Are you just going to have basically a lame duck year? But I don't see how in one offseason the Miami Dolphins, right, we've seen some teams like the Patriots go from the outhouse to the penthouse. We've seen the Texans go from the outhouse to the penthouse. I just don't see how the Miami Dolphins get this right in one offseason. This, to me, has to be a full rebuild, a full tear it down. You've already got rid of the GM. Get rid of the coach. Get rid of the quarterback. You know, maybe you do trade Jaylen Waddle and you kind of use him as the resources that Sauce Gardner, who the Jets were able to somehow get two first-round picks for, maybe you end up getting rid of a player like a Jaylen Waddle, which they almost did at the deadline, and you just get extra draft capital, and then you really build this thing up. NFL Christmas Game Day returns to Netflix in 2025 with two marquee games that will showcase NFC division rivals facing off. Streaming live on Netflix, Cowboys Commanders will air at 1 p.m. Eastern Time from Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland, followed by Lions and Vikings at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pregame coverage begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And now joining us, she's a part of all this great coverage with Netflix. She does an unbelievable job. Good morning, football. Jamie Erdahl is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Jamie, appreciate it. How you been?
What's happening? I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. We'll get to all the great stuff with Netflix in just a bit. but I got to get your reaction. The Dolphins have benched Tua Tagovailoa, and Quinn Ewers is now going to be their starter. What's your take on that?
Well, I have a unique perspective with Tua. Covered him a lot at Alabama, a lot. And I saw him at his height of heights. And I feel the same way about Bryce Young. And somehow those guys went from being at the very top of their game in college, high draft picks, highly regarded. And it just didn't click for Bryce early. And now it works this year. I thought it was going to work for Tua this season. I actually had that Madrid game where it felt like that was the moment where the Dolphins were going to turn things around. They win in overtime against the Commanders. They were relying a lot on Devon Achane, which I liked. I think that worked for the offense. And all of a sudden, I actually thought in my mind on GMFB, you know, we had kind of cast the Dolphins aside. You know, we weren't talking about them very much, but they were winning. Then this Monday Night Football game comes, and it was just the sputtering Dolphins team. They made a change at GM earlier this season, and for some reason, they got this thing going. But the fit wasn't there for Tua at the end of this season. I don't know the answer, and frankly, I don't think Mike McDaniel has the answer, and that's why they have to make this change. I hate it for him. I like him as a young man. I think he's very talented, but as we've seen with a lot of these guys, that maybe his second, third stop is going to be the case for him because he's got the talent and the brains.
Do you feel like this is it for Tua in Miami? I know the contract is what the contract is, but I feel like at this rate, you just got to bite the bullet and just move on from him at the end of the season.
I do think it might be it, only because they already made a change at the GM. And if this is Mike McDaniel saying, this is my system and I want to make this work with a quarterback that I can build off of, why else do you go out and get Quinn Ewers? Why do you have Zach Wilson sitting there? So it's a hefty contract, but teams always need quarterbacks. People will do some crazy things for quarterbacks.
How about your football team? I know that you grew up as a Minnesota Vikings fan. J.J. McCarthy, where's the confidence in J.J. right now? I know he's been playing better the last 2 weeks.
You know, Chris Collinsworth made a good point, I thought, in that broadcast for the Cowboys-Vikings game on Sunday night, which is while the Vikings are down and out this season, they are technically eliminated. To see some moxie from a quarterback like J.J. who had been kicked a lot around this season between injury and speculation, and he had one good quarter of football against the Bears week one, and that was it. We've seen no other development. He had to go out there and show what he was worth, I think, on Sunday night, and he did that. The personality is there. It's a little of the antithesis of a true Minnesotan. Minnesotans are a little bit more subdued. They don't have the flashiness. So I think people are still trying him on for size in that respect. But you can't get much. You can't get very far in this league at that position without having some semblance of an ego, of confidence, of knowing that you can go about this, and maybe a little bit of delusion. Like, he had to buy into it in order for the rest of the team to. I like what I saw. My jury's still out on it because the whole thing has been challenged all season. Justin Jefferson hasn't found the end zone. Whatever went down with Adam Thielen was strange. KOC was supposed to be this quarterback whisperer, and just whatever happened between injury and whatnot, the double European game thing was hard on the Vikings earlier this season. The whole thing was really up against a brick wall in 2025.
Would you be interested in either Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa making their way to Minnesota this offseason?
I wouldn't, only because I don't think, I'm not sure that's the best match for Kevin O'Connell's system and what he came from and his coaching tree with, like, you see what Sean McVay can do with a Matthew Stafford. And if that's where Kevin O'Connell came from and like a true passer, is that what KOC needs more than someone who has like that dual threat? But, and also, like, the finances aren't there for the Vikings as well. Like, they've already committed to Justin Jefferson. You need a pure pocket passer to be able to, can run a little bit, but he's got to be able to find Justin Jefferson.
You know, I know receivers, right? We do the stereotypical receiver drama, all that stuff. Justin Jefferson is one of the most humble people I ever met, like, genuine superstars. But there is that narrative developing this year because he's not happy, clearly. No one would be happy when he's not getting the ball the amount of times that he should be getting. Is there that fear that sets into your mind of maybe Justin Jefferson in the near future maybe wanting out of this Minnesota relationship?
I think it's too early to make that judgment. I think this was, you know, first pass at frustration. I mean, this is the first true hardship that he himself has faced, I think, in the NFL. Up until this point, he's had the stats. It's just been with like this hodgepodge of quarterbacks. So I just think the consistency wasn't there for the offense at all this season. I also think like JJ McCarthy, you know who you throw to. And if you're at a practice and you're off to the side throwing to Jalen Naylor or Jordan Addison, like, those might become your guys. That's who your eyes naturally draw to. Justin Jefferson is out there trying to make everybody better. He's probably in double coverage. Like, we probably don't see half of what you guys are, what they're seeing out there in an offense and way they're covered. So I don't think we are going to, like, see some crazy schism this offseason. If this were to continue 2-3 years down the road and the Vikings were like, this is our quarterback and no one else, Justin Jefferson's like, what am I doing here? What is this? So that's where I need to give it some more time. I'm not going to buy into, like, the Jefferson wants to escape Minnesota just yet.
Jamie Erdahl here with us for a few more moments on behalf of Netflix. Obviously, it's a great job each and every morning. Good morning, football. I know the Broncos have more wins. I know the Patriots have more wins after the way that the Bills came back up against the Pats and no Kansas City in the playoffs. Are the Bills, in your opinion, the team to beat this year in the AFC?
I think for their own good, they are. I think the Chiefs are out of it. They have to become that. They have to puff up their chests. Like, if not now, then when are they getting it done? Everybody else got better. I think that was part of the problem for the Chiefs this year. I don't think the Chiefs miraculously became a bad football team. I think everybody else in the AFC elevated their game. And if the Bills aren't careful and they don't take advantage of not having Burrow and Mahomes in the postseason this year, then what are we doing at this point? I think if you don't see a Josh Allen the year after an MVP candidacy, a year in which he's making a very late but very iconic case for another MVP, they have to pounce where this opportunity is ripe. And if I don't see him in a Super Bowl, I think it's going to be something very wrong would have happened.
Are the Rams the first team you think of in the NFC when you talk about who gets out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl? Is it the Rams this year?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I picked them as my most powerful team in the NFL at the time. Then they went and they stumbled against the Panthers. That was a weird weekend. I didn't appreciate that whatsoever. But that I think tomorrow night, we'll find out a lot more about what the Rams are about. If they can put a stamp on the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football, that will for sure seal it. Everyone else has faltered on the NFC. I just can't make another clear-cut argument, even for as talented as the Eagles are. I don't think if they played tomorrow in a postseason, even if it was back in Philadelphia, I mean, the Rams were one pass away from besting them last year in the NFC playoffs on the road. So I think for sure the Rams come to mind when I think of the NFC representative.
Tell me what you got cooking this year with Netflix once again.
I'm hosting this year, and as you mentioned, it is a very prideful moment in my career because it is in my home state. It's Lions-Vikings. As you said, there's going to be two game sites in Washington and Minnesota. Kay Adams will have the first set, which I'm super proud to work alongside her on a day like that on Netflix. We got Snoop Dogg as the halftime show. Last year in Houston, I was in a hallway introducing Beyonce, and I was like, could this get any better? And now this year, I'm going to be back at home in Minnesota introducing Snoop at halftime. I think the NFC North has been fascinating all year long. I was a little worried about the Vikings before coming into this game, but I actually think the way that they played against the Cowboys last weekend, the Lions are limping as well. This game is going to mean something on Christmas Day in Minnesota, and for it to be kind of like the Christmas sandwich special of the NFL that day, it's going to be fantastic. I'm really proud to work on it, and I'm going to be with Manti Te'o and Brandon Marshall, who are two of my favorites.
Now, like, obviously you mentioned Kay. She was, right, the host of Good Morning Football for all those years. She left, and then you took over, and you've done a great job. Do you guys have a relationship? Like, are you guys friendly? Do you guys talk at all or not so much?
Yeah, we're friendly. We connected when there was the passing of the torch. I think all women in sports media are obviously aware of each other and connected in varying degrees. I think it'd be hard pressed for us not to have some connection just because of the commonalities that we have with the people that we work with. The personalities on Good Morning Football are unique, to say the least. And, you know, there's very few people on the planet who can stand in a room together and say, we've all done 20 hours of TV together for 52 weeks out of the year. And, like, that is a brethren that I take very proud with Peter Schrager and Kyle Brand and Jason McCourty, Manti, and Kay is a part of that conversation. So in the history of, I think, the best morning show for the NFL on television, you know, she is who sat in that seat before. And she was very kind to me when I took over that chair.
Cool stuff. Once again, NFL Christmas Game Day returns to Netflix in 2025 with two marquee games that will showcase NFC division rivals facing off, streaming live on Netflix. Cowboys Commanders will air 1 p.m. Eastern Time, from Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland, followed by Lions and Vikings at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time from the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pre-game coverage begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Jamie Erdahl, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There she is, Jamie Erdahl. We will go from Jamie to Texas A&M. Mario Craver, their star wide receiver, going to join us on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're counting down the days to the opening round of the college football playoff. And coming up on Saturday, we will see the Aggies of A&M do battle at home up against Miami. And Mario Craver, their stud wide receiver, is kind enough to join us right now. Mario, appreciate the time. How you been?
Thank you for having me. I've been good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So it looks like you just came off the practice field, I gather. When you start to just go forward a little bit and you put yourself in the mindset of Saturday, man, it's so cool with the college football playoff now with the opening round games. It's going to be a home atmosphere. Just what do you kind of envision that atmosphere looking like on Saturday?
I expect it to be very exciting, very loud, very physical game with these guys. They are a very talented team. I'm just looking forward to seeing what Kyle Field with the 12-man brings to us Saturday, and we're definitely going to come put on a show for you guys.
I know the job isn't done yet, but up until this point, you guys have had such a successful season. And for most of the year, you were undefeated. And unfortunately, things didn't go your way up against Texas. And the next thing you know, you're not playing for an SEC championship, performance. What's the mentality kind of like of this group right now? Have you guys fully flushed the Texas game and it's just on to the playoff? Or where's this group at right now?
Oh, we definitely still got that bad taste in our mouth from last game, most definitely. But we're moving forward. We know that we have bigger and better things going on moving forward. And we're just trying to not make those same mistakes we made that game. And we know that if we play our game, that we'll be able to compete with anyone.
And you know what happens, right? You could win every game. You lose one game. And then people start to say, how good is A&M? You know, are they fraudulent? I think you guys are a damn good football team, and you proved it for the entire season. But what do you say to people that are doubting you guys heading into this college football playoff and think you'll be in and out real quick?
A lot of times people are quick to forget, like, what you did early in the season. But our team, we've built this from week one, and we know what we got in this building, and we're ready to come change that narrative from last game, most definitely.
Mario Craver here with us. There's so many different paths to kind of travel to build a college football team these days. Immediately from high school, the transfer portal. Some guys go to 2-3 schools, right? You went through it, transferring over, this being your first year with A&M. Why was A&M the right spot for you? Because, man, you're really thriving and balling out on that football field.
Oh, really just the culture here. Coach Elko, he's created a very good culture here. And the guys, the coaches they have here, the strength coaches they have here, the people they have in the building, it just plays a big factor. People don't realize, they see all the on-field stuff that I'm doing, but the off-field stuff that really keeps me, keeping my head level and keep me as confident as I can be because I'm in the building with the right guys. And that's what really does it for me. And the guys that I have around me, the people in this building, yeah.
Yeah, having a teammate like a Casey Concepcion who's going through the same thing, and you guys have been such a good 1-2 dynamic punch this year, how much easier does that kind of make it with you trying out something new and then also having a guy like Casey that's just going through the same thing, similar in age?
Oh, yeah, it makes it very easy. This is the vision that we had coming on our visits, coming in here, two guys to be able to create special plays, get open, create space. Both of those guys on the field at the same time, they always be good.
When was the moment this year? Because, right, you transfer to a school. You're expecting it to work out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. What was the moment for you that you said to yourself, wow, me saying I wanted to go to A&M, it's really paying off, and everything I thought this could be is actually turning into reality?
Going into fall camp, like just how this team molded during fall camp and how these guys picked me up. When I first got here, because I was in the portal for a little bit, like, in conditioning-wise, I really wasn't up to par. Like, so when I got here, the work was actually hard for me. So, like, and my teammates, my brothers, they picked me up. And by the time we got to fall camp, it was a well-oiled machine. And people were picking me up, saying different things to me, giving me more confidence. And I learned, and I knew right then and there that this is the team and this is the culture that I wanted to be around.
How would you describe your game right now? Like, you're having a very successful season. Where's your game out? How much better do you think you could actually get?
I think I can get a lot better, actually. I think just being a better, a smarter player on and off the field, you feel me, and becoming a leader And also, I think just me being able to be a vocal leader on the team, and also being able to be a guy when I'm not, when I also don't have the ball in my hands, like blocking downfield, doing different things, the extra championship effort things that we have in the unit.
Mario Craver here with us. Take you back to earlier in the season. I'll never forget watching that touchdown that you had up against Notre Dame, 86 yards down the sideline. You're going through multiple defenders. How the heck did you get the ball in the end zone? Because I don't know how you're like in the middle of the field. There's four or five guys there. And the next thing you know, you're running down the sideline into the end zone celebrating with your teammates.
I mean, that's just the mentality that Coach Trooper Taylor, when he says, when you have the ball in your hands, you ain't going out of bounds. You feel me? Like, just get as many yards as you can. That's all I was trying to do, and it ended up becoming a big play.
Was that your favorite memory from the season? And if not, what was?
If it, not that one. It was Nate catching the touchdown at the end of the game. It was definitely.
That's a good answer. How about the South Carolina comeback? I know you were in and out of lineup that day, but, man, I still couldn't believe that you guys came back from that game.
Yeah. When we're in the locker room, our team, like, we never had a doubt that we were going to come back in that game. And I think that was the difference between the game. Like, our locker room, we never budged, not once. And we just said, let's reset and let's go do this thing the way we were supposed to. And we did that.
I love your quarterback, Marcel Reed. I got a chance to talk to him earlier in the season, somewhere back in, like, September, October. You know, I don't think he gets enough national praise. Just tell people more about your quarterback and Marcel Reed, being around him and seeing him go through everything he's gone through this season.
I mean, I guess people forgetting that he was in the hospital talks right before the Texas game. And, like, to me, he had one bad game, and people want to, to me, try to push a different narrative. But he knows that he has to step up this next game, and we're all confident in him, and he's going to make plays for sure. Watch.
How's that ankle? Could you give me a little insight? How's his ankle doing?
100%, I promise.
Okay, that's good to know. How about you from a health standpoint?
I mean, for me, from a health standpoint, I'm definitely got back to 100% these past couple of weeks. I've been dealing with a little bit of injury, but now I'm definitely back 100%, moving at full speed.
And I don't know if you guys are going to get Le'Veon Moss or not back for this one coming up on Saturday, but if you do, what could that do for your team, just getting a player of his caliber back into the lineup?
Yeah, if Le'Veon's able to come back Saturday, it's definitely going to change the offense a lot, definitely.
You think there's a chance? Like, are you expecting it, or you don't know yet?
I think there's a chance he's played Saturday.
Gotcha. How about Ashton Bethel-Roman? Just the growth of him during his freshman season. I know you're a sophomore, but just seeing the way that he's been able to grow throughout the season, what stands out to you?
I mean, me and Ash are the same age. He's just I didn't end up redshirting, and he ended up redshirting. So, like, we're the same age, same class, and just seeing him grow throughout the season, I've definitely been very proud of him, because beginning of the season, if you would go watch the tapes, he had a couple of drops, and his confidence level would get low, and you could tell. But, like, now you see him gaining his confidence back, him gaining his swagger back, and he's that guy now.
I know you guys had to wait a little bit, but has it sunk in that you're playing in a college football playoff game coming up on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a surreal moment, 360 moment for me, because it's something I used to dream about as a kid, and I'm definitely ready to go show my talents on the level that I always dreamed of.
And then before we let you run, when you turn on the tape and you're previewing Miami, just what stands out to you about that defense?
Very fast, very physical, very big guys. They're great in the back half, and they can tackle in space, and it'll definitely be a great matchup for us.
Well, Mario, hey, good luck, good health coming up this weekend. Thanks so much for doing this. You be well, all right?
Thank you.
There he is, Mario Craver, joining us for the Texas A&M football team. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. And Stu, when he played Notre Dame, do you remember what his stat line was? I have it right in front of me.
I don't, but I remember it was pretty substantial. He killed us.
How many catches do you think he had?
I'm going to say like six or seven.
Was that intentional?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I'm guessing it was in that realm from what I remember.
He had seven.
Seven, okay.
How many yards?
I feel like it was like one, like close to 200, like let's say 180.
207.
Yeah.
With a tutty. That 86-yard touchdown down the left sideline, where when he got to midfield, I don't know how Notre Dame didn't tackle him. There was 3 to 5 defenders, and he ran through all of them. And the next thing you know, he's in the end zone for a touchdown. So appreciate Mario Craver for joining us. And is that the game of the weekend? Would you call that the game of the weekend? It's either Oklahoma or Alabama. Like, I'm not going to sit here and really expect much out of Tulane taking on Ole Miss and James Madison going up against Oregon. Do you think Alabama, Oklahoma, or do you believe it's Miami or A&M is the game of the weekend?
I think it's Miami, A&M. I think we've already seen Oklahoma, Alabama, and I know it's different, but just something I like to see that different teams play, and obviously these are two teams that play Notre Dame, so two teams that I've seen very, very closely, so it is Miami A&M for me is the one that I think is going to be the closest and the one I'm most looking forward to.
Now, I will say some good news for Alabama fans because Jam Miller, who is sometimes often underappreciated by the Crimson Tide fans, he is off the injury report. So it looks like Jam Miller is going to be good to go. That is a major, major key. And then I'm starting to wonder what we're going to get out of the quarterback in Ty Simpson because I don't know how much merit there is to this and how much factuality there is to this, but there's a lot of talk about his back on social media leading up to this game. So I don't know if it's true or I don't know if it's false, but he's got clobbered a ton. Alrighty, we've heard from Tua Tagovailoa. He just addressed reporters. Let's play that right now. This is Tua talking to the media after getting benched as the Miami Dolphins quarterback Quinn Ewers is going to take over.
Naturally, I'd say I'm disappointed. I think it's normal. It's a normal human emotion. But, you know, outside of that, I got to do my part. My role here right now is to help whoever the quarterback is going to be for this team, to lead this team, help in whatever way I can, you know, to help the team win this game on Sunday.
What did Mike say to you?
We just had a brief conversation about changing the quarterback.
And what was your reaction at that point?
Disappointed. I mean, I'm not happy about it, but, you know, something out of my control.
Would you take two on the Raiders, Stu, next year? If it's a cheap contract, one-year contract, cheap contract, would you take Tua Tagovailoa as a starting quarterback for the Raiders next year?
I think I would. I'd like to see them draft a quarterback, but obviously that depends on how they finish the season and where they land and what quarterbacks are in the top five. But I think I would take him on a one-year rental. Nothing more than that, but a one-year rental, yeah.
Samter, would you take Tua Tagovailoa as your quarterback next season on a one-year contract?
Yeah, on like a cheap one-year deal, sure. Depends on who we draft. But we definitely need a quarterback, so it doesn't matter who we draft. We're going to need somebody.
Man, we are desperate.
Would you rather have Kyler Murray, though, or Tua Tagovailoa?
I think Tua. It's close,
really?
But I think Tua. I think there's a little more potential out of Tua.
I think Kyler's just less damaged goods. I don't think either are any good, let me be clear, but I would rather have Kyler over Tua. Sam, to break the tie here, who would you rather have?
It is so close, man. Because if you remember, like when Kyler was healthy a couple years ago, he was an MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, Tua, when he was healthy, you know, he was dominating. And Tyreek Hill was threatening the all-time receiving yards mark. So, like, they both have the ceiling that they could be good enough. But neither of them are consistent or healthy enough to be good. I guess I would go Tua, because he at least has some more leadership skills. It seems like Kyler kind of...
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, maybe, you know, the whole film stuff. And mm-hmm. I guess... And maybe Kyler has baseball to fall back on, so he's not going to be as dedicated.
That's still a thing. Ugh, can we stop with the baseball?
Well, who knows? Listen, the A's drafted him. They're going to Vegas. Maybe he plays in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath.
Yankees could
one.
Use a shortstop.
Replace that Volpe fella.
That's right.
Zach Gelfand with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Danny Cannell. Coming on back on the other side, Pat Fall on My Ass Boyle is the way that his headline is running out for me at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll have a few surprises for Ack today coming up later on the show. Yep, that's right, Ack's final day. Coming on back into these short messages.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash.
Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.